Oh yeah, you have the day.
I have the day. I have the day. I have the power. I have the day. You can't suppress me anymore, Sian. I'm taking back the power.
Mel has the power. Mel has the day. Wait, no.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Mel has the power. Mel has the day. Sean can't take the power back.
I mean, you can. It's just that there's a particular day that is near and dear to my heart today. And then if I tell you beforehand, then it wouldn't have sounded very exciting, but you may have been intrigued. But if I tell you live on this pre-recorded podcast, then you may react a little bit better. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
You ready, Freddy?
Yeah.
Well, that's a clue. Today is Happy Be Freddy for a Day Day, Sean.
Happy Be Freddy for a Day Day, Melanie.
Do you know what that is?
Is it Freddie Mercury?
Yeah. So on the 5th of September, it's actually Freddie Mercury's birthday, or would have been his birthday today. He's my favorite singer of all time, so I'm very excited about it. But Be Freddy for a Day Day is a day that you dress up as Freddie Mercury for the day. And it is to raise funds for the Mercury Phoenix Foundation, which does a shit ton of work for fighting AIDS and HIV, basically. So providing treatment, putting money into medicines and like to hopefully find a cure, but also providing funding to like communities such as, you know, communities in, you know, less fortunate countries, Jesus Christ, where the disease runs rampant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, see, that's a fun day. If we actually took the initiative and dressed up as Freddie Mercury for the day, just for the day, what Freddie Mercury look would you go for?
Oh yeah, I'd probably try to get one of his like royal jacket type things.
Oh my god, yes, from like the 80s era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've already got a beard, so there's only so much I could do.
You could probably just shave your beard, keep your mo.
I mean, I could, but I wouldn't. But I could.
Okay.
Maybe I could paint my moustache area darker or something so it stands out more.
Maybe. Oh, God, I love this man. He was so beautiful. I just love him. Yeah. A few people think that I have the hots for him. Like, no, I don't have the hots for him. I just think he was perfect, but I can't explain why. I think I just admire and adore him.
Yeah, he's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I loved him before the fucking movie, Sian. I actually had a cat named Rhapsody. That's how much I loved him. Yep. I think, see, it depends on the mood. I could go like very simple but yet iconic Live Aid Freddie Mercury with just like the acid wash jeans, studded belt, studded bracelet around his bicep and the white singlet. That'd be mad because they're very simple, but it's, you know, effective. Or I would love to go, there's so many fucking looks. There needs to be, I swear to God, if we get to Canada's Drag Race and they don't do a Freddie Mercury themed runway, I'm out. I am out. There was also, in the Those Are the Days of Our Life video, which is like the final video clip that came out, which was very sad before he passed away. He's got this ridiculous vest and it's covered in cats. That could be fun. Yeah, yeah, there's just so many looks. So many looks. I would love to. I think a lot of people would default for the I Want to Break Free look, which is like obviously super iconic. But, you know, I'm trying to be different, Sean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could actually I would love, you know what? I think I know. Oh, but I can't because you already said that you'd do that. Because you want to wear like his military jackets and stuff. So you, I was about to say, I would love to dress like in the 80s. He had a birthday party and the theme was dress as your favorite person. So he dressed as himself.
That was the bit I was, that was the look I was thinking of, I think. Yeah.
And it's featured in the, oh, what video clip is it? Oh, fuck. Can't remember the video clip. It's like, It's a lonely, lonely. What is the song? Living on My Own. It's the Living on My Own video clip.
Yeah.
That the birthday party features in. That's like his solo stuff, not Queen stuff.
Yeah.
I remember in the movie. I forgot he had
that solo album.
You what?
I forgot he had that solo era.
Yeah, Mr. Bad Guy. You know, in the Bohemian Rhapsody movie, as much as I loved Rami's, I loved that movie because I was like, oh, my God, I love it. But one thing that did drive me crazy a little bit, they made out as if, like, his solo album was trash.
Mm.
But it wasn't. The music is so good. It is really, really good. It's actually underrated. I Was Born to Love You. Oh my God. Have you heard that song? It's so good. And the video clip, so camp, so amazing. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they just changed a lot in that movie's timeline wise, just for more drama.
Yeah, the timeline was fucked.
I think even that party was in a different time period as well.
I don't think they even included the party. They did this weird thing where they had...
Oh, yeah, it was like a different... It was probably like the same look, but at a different party.
So yeah.
There was a party in the movie.
There was a party, but it wasn't that one.
Yeah.
It was... Yeah, like the movie was good, and I understand they are going to have to... Like, I understand they had to change some of the timelines and stuff to, you know, create a movie, but... I didn't like how they, yeah, like there was a lot of things that they changed. Like when We Will Rock You, that song came out, they made out as if it came out in the Play the Game era, which is like very late 70s, but then early 80s, Play the Game. I think that was 80s. I think it was 1980. Please hold and I'll look that up for you. Play the Game album. I think that was 1980. Oh, okay. I was pretty close. No. Yeah. 30th of June, 1980. Yeah. So they made out, and that was like the crazy little thing called Love Era. And I'm pretty sure in the movie they made out as if We Will Rock You came out around about that time, but that's not the truth. It came out a few years before that because he still had long hair. That was in the News of the World album.
Yeah.
So that annoyed me a bit because I'm just like, dude, like as a Queen, as a super mega, don't know if you know, but I do quite enjoy Queen. So I know quite a bit about them. So as a viewer of the movie, I was just like, dude, this timeline's out. I wish they'd highlighted more of the fighting in the band, though, because they kind of made out as if, like, Freddie cracked the shits and pissed off and they were all, like, against Freddie. But that wasn't the case. They all fought with each other all the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's all right. It was a good film anyway. Do you want to talk about gay shit? Well, we are talking about gay shit. We're talking about Queen shit, but, you know.
We are. So yeah. I'm just going to turn my fan off.
Okay. Sean's one fan. He's going to turn it off. We've got one fan listening to the podcast and he's just turned it off.
Yeah.
You kidding me?
They're dead now.
Oh. Well, anyway.
Well, we're up just to... asleep.
That was just so sinister. We like, she's dead now. And then you just get your chapstick. Oh, man. So hateful. And yeah, I was the one that saw Bianca Del Rio on Saturday. It was the most hateful she's ever been. She's my hero. She's my favorite drag queen ever.
I'm sad I missed it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. But that's okay. She'll come back and then we'll all go again and it will be wonderful and magical as always.
Yeah, I'll come next time she's here.
Yeah, she's the best.
I watched her the project interview. I love that she always gets an interview on there.
Yeah, me too. It's so good. It's so inappropriate, but so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely the most hateful. I've seen every tour of hers except for Just a Joke. Yeah, I think that's it. I've seen her every time she's been in Australia except for that one. But yeah, it was so good to see her. I was very, very happy. She's just so hateful. I love it. Makes me feel better about myself. Adrian's convinced I am Bianca, and so is Lauren. I don't think that's the truth because she's a lot cooler than me. Sean just smiles off camera, just like, yeah. Well, we're up to season 3, episode 8 of Canada's Drag Race.
Yes.
And who went home last week? I've actually gone blank.
Was that Irma Gerd went home last week?
Irma Gerd, finally. And we finally had Giselle Lullaby lip sync, which was mad.
Yeah.
And Vivian finally wins. And Fiercelicious is like, oh my God, everyone has won a challenge. I don't think that's ever happened before.
Yeah.
Has it happened before? I think not. Except for maybe All-Star, like the last All-Stars.
Yeah, there's usually one that hasn't won a challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't count the last All-Stars because, you know, everyone's a winner, baby. That's true.
Yeah. Plus, they just found a way to make it unfair. Yeah. Like, and the last week, it will count as 3 wins.
Yeah. Shane, Monet, you guys have sucked your whole season. But, hey, we love ya.
But you've won this week, so now you're in the lead.
That was annoying. I'm just like, don't stress Jinx out, fucking idiot. I think they did that because they were like, oh, Jinx is like not the worst lip syncer, but like these two are very good lip syncers. So let's just see if she shits herself. I'm like, oh, God.
Jesus. Like we want to find a way to make tension.
Tension. Brad Goreski is in the workroom and, oh, he looks so cute this episode. He looks cute every episode. You know.
He does.
He reminds me of my pets. When I walk, I look at them and I'm like, oh my God, you're so cute. They're always cute.
Yeah, he's adorable.
He comes with a message for the queens and the message are from loved ones. Did this make you cry?
No.
Okay. Good chat. who?
But Giselle, it was nice to see them emotional.
Yeah. Oh my God, Giselle Lullaby crying. That did actually get me really teary because I think that's exactly how I would cry. Well, depending on who was on the screen. Who would you want to see on this? If they were like, we have a message from your loved one. Who would you want to see? Not that you have favorites.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm terrible at that question. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I'd... I don't
even. Is that because you don't have emotional. A soul and you're heartless? Is that why? Or
I'd just be like, oh, it's nice they sent a message. And then I probably have a producer in the background being like, can you give us more?
Can you give us a bit more emotion?
They're going to be making like the little crying eye, like hand gestures, like...
Could you imagine, you know what I could imagine you doing? Having like a loved one, like say, for example, I don't know, it's your parents, your sister, Ash, maybe me. Could you imagine if it was me?
hey mate.
Hey mate. It's I'd say nice stuff because you're one of my favorite people. But you know, I don't think you know what, you know what, you know what would happen? You would get the message. Okay, look, let's play the scenario. If it was me sending you a message, I'd be all like, hey mate, it's me. I don't know if you know who I am. Melanie Driver, your co-host of Bring Back the Mustard. Mate, I fucking miss you. Can't believe that you've made it this far since, you know, the only drag that you do is dressing up as Gladys Berejiklian, who isn't even the Premier of New South Wales anymore. But hey, I'm so glad that you've made it. Jokes aside, I love you. I adore you. Stay on your prep and you'll be fine. Lots of love. Me. Oh, wait, and I've got a mate for you. And then I'd bring up London, the little dog, and I'd put her on my lap and be like, you know, she really misses you. Can't wait to see you. We'll catch up for Yum Cha soon. Bye, mate, or whatever. And then you know what would happen? You would pull out your phone and then send me a crying emoji. Am I wrong?
Or just like, thanks.
Thanks. That's what it would be.
I actually did get emotional. I probably like talk the talk about how I'm just like, eh. And then the actual moment, I'd be like,
I don't know. I'd be cool to see you. Or I think I'd just laugh if I saw you. I wouldn't even cry. I'd just laugh. Because the camera would come and it would just be like, hey.
Yeah, I'd probably do that. Hey.
I'm married, so they would probably get Adrian to send me a message.
They probably get Adrian, yeah.
Yeah. And I'd get a little bit teary and then he'd be like, ow, I'll hang on. There's someone here to talk to you. And then he'd pick up Beth and then he'd pick up London. Beth would be crying, being like, meh. And then London would just not be saying anything but trying to lick his face. And then I would fucking lose my shit. They would have to call the SES because the whole studio would be flooded. It would be done. It would be over. Yeah. So you'd hope that they play my message last because I would just be a mess. I'd walk around, I'd slap everyone in the room just crying like, oh my God.
Do you want to just throw things and like slam them at the wall? There's a glass anywhere. You just throw it at a wall.
I walk up to like the dressmaking mannequins. Ah, just like kick them over. I pick up like a piece of fabric from like the Fabric World wall, and I just like run around and then just have it like drag behind me, just wailing like ah.
Just start trying to rip it as well.
Oh, man. It would be so sad.
Just throwing wigs everywhere. Just all bets are off.
Yeah. Fearsalicious is like, oh, my God, you're, like, got all my stuff. And I would just, like, be destroying everything.
She was throwing all my things.
She was a mess.
She was a mess, and I just don't understand why she was doing it.
Yeah, that's what I would be like. Anyway.
And Jada said, like, honey, she was losing it, honey.
Honey, she was losing it. There was a...
wigs everywhere, throwing patterns everywhere, honey.
Yeah, she'd be all like, ning, nang, nong, where the cows go bong. She was losing it, mama, and the cow jumped over the moon. That's what she did.
Mary had a little tantrum.
That's it. Oh, man. Oh, that, I mean, it's pretty accurate. Now, Brad is like, well, now that I've sucked the life out of you, just watching, you know, just making you cry and wet yourself, and, you know, now that you're all soggy, I'm going to now announce a challenge that you could all cry about. It's the fucking ball. This challenge would scare the shit out of me. I know. Okay, full disclosure. Yeah.
It's the dreaded challenge for anyone that's not, like, an experienced seamstress.
Oh, fuck. I know that they only make one look, and then they have the other two looks before. But here's the thing. You don't know what the actual ball challenge is going to be, I don't think. Like, you kind of get the two other categories, but you don't know what the whole ball theme is going to be. And, yeah, like, what if the thing that you have to make, you don't get fabrics or anything that's going to complement your other looks? Or what if you get something that is going to, like, be too matchy-matchy?
Well, yeah, imagine if it's, like, similar, or, like, what you would have wanted to make, or, like, had a regular pattern for, is, like, the same as what you brought.
Mm.
Then it's like, oh, I won't be showing any contrast now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could really throw you.
Yeah. Because Vivian won last week, fucking finally. Yeah. She gets to, so they come out with masquerade masks, and Brad is like, so everyone's going to get assigned a masquerade mask by Vivian, and you can use this as inspiration. Do you think this is an advantage, or do you think this is, like, not really an advantage?
Yeah, it's a hard one.
Yeah, look, just pretend I asked that question in a plain English way, because I accept that the way that I asked you was really stupid. But anyway, just for that.
Like, to dissect the question.
Yeah.
I don't know with this one, because I think, like, it could be an advantage, but it felt like she decided to be very fair about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Maybe it just depends what the masks look like as well.
Yeah.
None of these were particularly bad looks.
The masks, you mean?
Yeah.
Nah. I wouldn't have wanted the silver one.
Yeah.
What one would you have wanted?
Yeah, that's a good question.
It is a great question.
I don't know. I mean, I always go for pink, but actually when it comes to something like this, I don't know.
You do. You tend to go to, I know every Mardi Gras you love, like, the pink feather boa, but you do like silver as well.
I do, but also I think a lot of the times I have to do silver, because I think it's one of our theme. It's usually, like, our theme. I think the first time I did a Mardi Gras parade, silver was like our color theme.
Oh, okay.
So I think that's why I have those shoes.
You do gravitate towards silver a lot, though.
I do sometimes, yeah.
Well, for the wedding, when you had to pick your own shoes, you showed me about three pairs of silver shoes, and I'm like, well, Jordan's already got silver shoes, so.
It's going to hold that against me forever, apparently.
No, hold it against Jordan. He was the one that already had his shoes. Oh, God. It was fine.
I found gold shoes.
They were the best. They were so good. Yeah, they were the shoes that everyone noticed first, so it was to your advantage anyway.
Mm.
Yeah. So which of these masks do you think you would have picked?
I think, like, either Jada Shaders or the black and gold. But yet again, I mean, I do naturally gravitate to pink, so maybe I would have picked pink. I don't know.
Okay. Is that your favorite color?
Yes and no. I don't know. I feel like I loved it as a kid, so I have, like, I don't know. And then I was laughed at.
Aww.
Loving it. So then, I don't know, there's, like, a part of me that, like, goes back to it now for, like, sentimental value. But I do, yeah, I mean, I love black. I love black.
Oh, well, black's a shade, so.
I don't care.
Okay. I love that. No, I'm joking. Like, I'm not joking. It is a shade. I love black too. But in turn, my favorite color is green, but they don't have green there. So
yeah, they didn't have green.
My favorite color combination is black and gold. I fucking love black and gold together, but I don't quite like that mask. So I probably would have wanted to go the black and white one. But also because it's a ball, black. I like the contrast of the black and white. So I'd probably want to go black and white.
No one had like a red one this time, did they?
Nah, they just had white, purple, pink, black, gold, black, white.
Yeah. I always think of red when I think of a mask. I always think of like black and red when I think of a masquerade ball. I'm surprised there wasn't any red. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess there's not that many of them, so... because otherwise they'd have to have a lot of colours.
Yeah, there is only a few of them this time.
Yeah. Now... The Vivian. Fuck, I did it again.
I've been doing it too. I was doing it in the last episode.
I did it again.
It's a fair association, anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, same name.
Yeah, Vivian Vanderpuss. She picks up the silver, she picks up the pink one first, and she gives that to Kimmy Couture. Who gets what? So Kimmy Couture got the pink one.
Did Giselle get the silver?
Vizalicious got purple.
Yeah.
The black and gold was given to Jada Hudson. And the silver one went to Giselle Lullaby.
Yeah.
And the black and white one went to Vivian Vanderpuss.
Yeah, the silver one is the plainest.
It's crap.
Yeah.
Well, because it's got nothing really going on, where all the other ones, it's like, okay, the purple has some appliques on it, the pink one has some feathers, you know what I mean? Like, there's other elements that you can pull into another look, but the silver one's just very,
Yeah.
It's vanilla.
Yeah. Although, I mean, you can add to the mask, as we find out later. Not saying anything, but you can add to the mask.
Oh, can you?
Well, could one you? Of them did.
Okay. To be honest, I'll obviously edit this out. I watched the episode yesterday, but I was actually gardening when I was watching it. Yeah. So there may be some stuff I may have actually missed, but that's okay because I'm watching it in the background. So yeah. I'm like catching up. It's fine.
Yeah, we'll go to that when we get to the critiques.
Yeah. Now we've only got two seams. We've only got two queens that can sew left, and then we have three hot gluers. Who do you think, just based on the previous, because they've had two other design challenges besides this one, who do you think is going to win? Who do you think is going to struggle?
I mean, not knowing anything beforehand, I would have assumed Giselle would have been the front runner.
Totes.
And, the way they were editing it, it looked like they were really trying to make it look like Vizalicious was going to struggle. But yeah, at this point in this season, I'm like, yeah, I feel like, yeah, they all seem to surprise a fair bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, yeah, I wasn't buying any of it.
I assumed that Giselle was going to win. I assumed straight up the bottom two was going to be potentially Fearsalicious and potentially Jada Shader Hudson. That was just from first impressions before they're even cutting up fabric.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because Giselle literally knows exactly what she's doing and she's got a taste level. That is fabulous.
I think the Vivian, Vivian Vanderpuss, It's like she's a front runner too, but I don't know if I trust her taste level as much.
Yeah, that's the thing. I feel like with Vivian Vanderpuss, she always goes to like with these fashion challenges or design challenges, my apologies, she goes straight to camp, which is fun, but you can argue that it's not fashion if it's like a bit of a comedy shtick, you know what I mean? So I don't know. I think that's where I was a bit like, I don't think this is going to be your week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just kind of assumed, well, you know, Jada Shada Hudson, when she's made, like the first week, she can't, to be honest, I think the first week, I don't think she should have been in the top. I think she should have been safe when she did the first design challenge. She got lucky, I think. The second one, that was just so terrible.
Yeah.
It was and Kimmy, you know, she's won it. I think she won a challenge making a brown paint. from memory.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah. Okay. I thought so. Brad comes in and he has a bit of a debrief with all the girls.
Oh, wait, no, she didn't. Oh, yeah, Kimiko didn't win, I don't think. I think she was just in the top.
Oh, she's in the top. Right, okay. All right. Maybe I'm thinking, oh, I think she won a challenge, but she was wearing bra and panties.
Yeah, I don't think she won 2 weeks in a row.
No.
No. Because she won the award show challenge.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't remember. She hasn't had more than one win, has she?
No. No, I don't think so.
It was Giselle that won the design challenge.
Brad Goreski comes in and he has a catch up with all the queens. Does your opinion change at this point based on just what you're hearing from the queens?
Yes, a bit.
Okay, tell me.
I know Kimmy, my thoughts changed and I thought Kimmy Couture was like looking the worst, but I can't remember if it was at this point or later.
Okay.
But yeah, Jada Shader's idea wasn't very good.
Yeah, okay. So Fierce Alicious, when she showed the halterneck idea for this eggplant velvet, full disclosure, velvet is my favorite fabric. I love velvet. Purple velvet or an emerald green velvet, it always just looks gorgeous. It's really hard to make it look bad. So when I saw, and it's actually quite, it has a lot of, it's not easy to work with because I haven't made anything with velvet yet, but it is very forgiving. It always looks gorgeous. It's really hard to make velvet look shonky. So when she held that up, I was just like, okay, let's see. Yeah. I was like, it'll be interesting to see if she fucks this up.
She was talking she made it sound like she was actually going in a good direction. So yeah, I actually wasn't as worried about her.
No, me either. Jada Shada, she was talking about the fans thing and I'm like, okay, well that's going to be the bottom look.
Yeah.
Interesting curveball. When Vivian Vanderpuss comes over, she's talking about her look, right? And Brad's like, okay, I love this idea. I love this idea. I love this idea. But then she said, oh, and then it will go into a leotard on the bottom. And I was like, why are you making a leotard? This is a ball. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, was that just me? I was just like, I feel like you don't know what this challenge is if that's all you're going to do. I have never, ever seen anyone wear a leotard anywhere and then everyone stops and looks at that person just being like, oh my God, she is the moment.
Especially at a ball.
It doesn't happen. What ball are you going to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like balls are like the long gowns.
Yeah. Nothing above the, pretty much, if you're a, if you're dressing as a female, or actually, no, men too, and everyone in between or other or whatever. It's nothing above the ankle, pretty much.
I think the only way, like, you could be showing legs is if you had, like, a see-through long gown. It's probably nothing the only way it would work, ankle. And even
nothing,
then.
Nothing above the ankle.
Yeah.
That's not me being conservative. I'm just saying, like...
That's the that's basically just the traditional ball.
Yeah, standard. Bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a formal.
Mm. Yeah, I'm just like, mate, this is not a cocktail thing. Although, you know what's annoying? Can I have a little vent from like 18 months ago? When we were issuing our wedding invitations, we had to write down in the invites that we wanted formal because we wanted everyone to, you know, look nice. But the reality is, cocktail is actually more formal than formal. But in Australia, if you put down cocktail, everyone interprets that as just like, you know, go to a little martini bar with a mini dress. Isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
Very annoying.
Tight mini dress.
Yeah. Someone wore a flannelette shirt to our wedding and I was so mad. Everyone else looked fine. But yeah, this one person wore a flannelette dress and they're lovely. But I was just like, oh my God, you were at a wedding. What the fuck is wrong with you? But you know, I was, it's, man, that happened. But anyway, not that I've held a grudge. fucking flannelette dress, fucking flannelette shirt.
You're like, and I've called them that every day since. Well, every time I see them since, I'd be like, hey,
I haven't actually seen them since the wedding because they live, it's a friend of Adrian's. Oh, look, don't get me wrong, they're lovely, but I'm just like, why did you wear a flannelette shirt? Oh, God. Meanwhile, I'm standing there in like a gold, sequin, lace, beaded feather, like ostrich feather with cape and tiara, just being like, fuck my wedding. okay. Now, drama. Giselle Lullaby, she's making her dress and she's burnt it.
Yeah.
I don't know what she was trying to do. I don't know if she was trying to make like a lining and then she steamed it and then the lining has just melted or something.
Yeah.
Fuck, I was just like, no, 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 you need to win. You need to win this whole thing. What are you doing? Giselle, what are you doing?
Yeah, they showed most of them struggling, except for, I think the only one they didn't show struggling was Fierce Alicious.
Fierce Alicious seemed, I was starting to get the impression that maybe she was going to chuck an Adore Delano and win a design challenge because I was... Yeah, because they were really playing down any form of drama.
Yeah.
And but they did so they did show besides Giselle's dress melting, they showed Giselle helping everybody and I'm like, Giselle, yeah. Let them suffer.
Yes, yeah, she said she wasn't going to help that or she was going to tell them what to do but not help, but yeah, I think she just couldn't help but help.
Yeah.
Couldn't help but help.
How many times have you been that person? You're like, you know what? I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not doing it. They can't do anything without me. So you know what? I'm just not going to do it. They don't appreciate the hard work that I do. Next minute, you're doing it. That's me all the time. Like, you know what? I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not doing it. Next minute, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I did it again.
Yeah, people actually ask me. They often don't, but...
No, I'm always the type of person that just ends up doing everything. Like, we're having a friend catch up on Saturday, and everyone was in this, like, you know, group chat thing. It's all of Adrian's friends being like, yeah, let's do a catch up. So where are we going to go? Are we going to meet here or here? Are we going to do this activity or this activity? Are we going to do dinner? Where are we going to have dinner? And what time? And it was way too many questions. And everyone was like, that's a great question. What is everyone else thinking? And I said to Adrian, I'm like, this is fucked. So I went in there and I was like, right, we can do this activity, or this activity. Vote. Great. You all voted for this one. So now they've got this activity in this location. And in this location near this activity, they've got these places to eat. Are we cool to eat there? Great. I've made a booking. Who has kids? Who needs high chairs? Done. And I said to Adrian, I'm like, I'm not doing this again. But you know what? I probably will. I just get too impatient. I'm like, dude, this is like something that takes 5 seconds. Why can't anyone else do it? So I think I would have been Giselle as well, being like, oh my God, just
ugh. Get your shit together, people.
Yeah. Some people call it aggression. I call it efficiency and actually getting shit done. Get it done. I can't.
Like, you're a results person.
Yeah. The same as like whenever we go out with with Adrian's family for dinner, which by the way, I always book because no one else books, but I book because it's the type of person that I am.
Yeah.
Adrian and I are always on time, or generally we're on time. And generally everyone else comes after us, and then people awkwardly don't know where to sit. So then for the next 2 minutes, it's like, oh, I don't know. Where do you want to sit? Oh, where do you want to sit? Oh, I think I want to. Oh, and I'm just like, okay. So no one wants to sit next to me. Thanks for clearing that up. Every fucking time. I'm just like, you know what? Next time I'm just going to sit on another table and then see if you guys know where to sit. That's something to talk about in therapy. Anyway, but yeah, I was very intrigued. I thought what was going to happen. I was like, I kind of have the feeling that Fearsalicious may potentially win.
Yeah.
Potentially. Now, before the episode started, there was a disclaimer saying that there was going to be, there was a viewer advisory warning. Just didn't really say what was going to be discussed, but it did say that you know, viewer discretion advised. I was a little bit nervous, and I hate to say it, but I figured that they were going to be talking about, it was either going to be suicide or it was going to be rape.
Yeah. I had a feeling it was going to be in that area too.
It bothers me that it bothers me that I just guessed that that's what it was going to be. And look, when I think rape is a very, it's still, I think it's always going to be a problem. I hate that that's always going to be a problem. I think when I went to an all girls Catholic school, and we were always described, rape was always explained to us as, you know, some guy will come up to you and he will just grab you, and then he will beat the shit out of you and then have sex with you. But as I've gotten older, I understand that that isn't the sole definition of rape. And I hate to say it, but from personal experience, like, Kimmy actually smacked the nail on the head. She said, you know, I can't count the number of times I've been raped. I think that, I think for me, I can, but I can't at the same time. Because there's some instances that I kind of go, well, is it rape or assault?
Yeah.
Because there was no penetration, but I didn't want this to happen. Or there's some instances where it's like, I went along with it, but I really didn't want to. So is that technically rape? It's not technically rape. Like there's so many gray areas. It's just, I hate that this is still an issue. Did this hit home for you in any way?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I've had some assault experiences growing up.
Right.
But
I think you've talked to me about that before.
Yeah. But I mean, I think I was lucky. Yeah, I was probably lucky in my younger years that I didn't have any actual rape experiences as far as I can think of, but I mean, yeah, I definitely did put myself in positions where it could have happened though.
But
I mean, I think anyone that's had an assault experience too can kind of imagine what it's like to some degree.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, I always feel for people who are trans, that go through things like this. I think I think this is one of the biggest parts of, is like, I feel like the trans community is already really mistreated in general,
mm-hmm.
or like, plus just not taken seriously just as a being half the time.
Oh my god.
I think it's so awful that on top of that, when they actually want to let someone in and actually like, yeah, think that they might be having a connection with someone in a romantic way or even just a general sexual way, then they actually get taken advantage like that.
Yep.
I think it's quite horrible.
I obviously I'm not trans, so for me to say, oh, I know exactly how Kimmy feels, that's not correct. I'm never going to know specifically how she feels because I'm not trans, so I can't comment on that. But yeah. I know I've met people that, you know, refer to trans people as a joke or refer to trans people as a fetish, you know, and just make jokes about it. I'm like, it's not 1999 anymore. You know, this isn't something like, I grew up with my dad's best friend. He was an alcoholic. And he would come over to our house every day and be drinking and drunk all the time. Every day, I would say, on average. And he had a thing for Asian women. And I still remember when I was, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, like a child, him talking about the ladyboys, like the sexy ladyboys in Thailand and Bali and all of these sort of places, because it is quite popular in Australia to travel to Thailand and Bali for holidays.
Yeah.
But he would always talk about, you know, just really not talking about these people like they were people and really talking about them as a fetish. And him and my dad and whatever other guy was over there would just laugh about it. And it was just really, it never made me feel comfortable. And that was even before I understood sexuality and all of the, like those sort of concepts. And I'm glad that they've raised it on the show as it is very uncomfortable. But yeah, I couldn't tell you the number of times that I've pretty much, I was saying to Adrian, my husband, a little while ago, pretty much every single date that I've gone on, just about. It's always been the guy saying how, you know, nice he is and always saying he's a good guy. And the night would pretty much end with the guy's hand down my pants or wanting something. And sometimes you feel obliged to go along with it, even though you don't want to, because you're just like, well, he thinks I'm pretty and he likes me.
Mm.
And I still remember one date I went on and that didn't happen. And I just assumed the guy didn't like me.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not right. And it's not. And I remember just being very confused, just being like, well, I didn't want him to do that. But the fact that he didn't even try. And I never, and that's why, like, I never enjoy dating. I've never enjoyed it. I've always actually enjoyed being single and being on my own. I never really feel comfortable with dating. And even now in my marriage, this is a bit forward. I do go through periods where, like, and I adore my husband. You know that. I absolutely love and adore my husband. I just think he's the most wonderful person. And he never did anything like that. I actually remember when Ada and I were dating, he would explicitly ask for consent even to kiss me or put his arm around me. Like, he would explicitly ask, which I thought was very strange. You know, like, he actually gave me that choice, which never happened with any other date that I'd ever been on. But it is really, I would say I have been raped by somebody. And it was really awful because it was in my house and I felt like I couldn't do anything or say anything. And I didn't want to acknowledge it as rape for a very long time, to the point that I even told people that I really liked the guy, but that wasn't the truth. I was absolutely terrified of him, but I just didn't want him to hurt me. And it was just really, really disgusting and awful. And I know even there's times in my marriage where I could go for weeks without being intimate with my husband because I just don't, I really just don't feel comfortable. And I think a lot of that has got to do with previous experiences of people pushing themselves onto me.
Mm.
And that's really awful. So I can only imagine being in Jimmy, oh my God, please edit that bit out. I can only imagine what people in the LGBTQIA plus community experience, because I think it would just be a lot worse than what I'm describing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it, I think actually thinking of those experiences definitely does turn off your sexual drive. Definitely. It's not a turn on. But
oh my God. I make jokes about, like, you know, like, we went to the Kiss concert a couple of weeks ago, right? And I am very open about my love for Paul Stanley. And, you know, I'm at the concert and, you know, I said, oh my God, he's so sexy. And look at that. And blah, 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 blah. But it is all a cover up. Like, I'm telling you now, it is all a cover up. And I guess, like, me, you know, making sex jokes and whatever, it's all talk. You know, I'm not saying I'm sexually inept. That's not what I'm saying at all. But there are periods where I'm absolutely uncomfortable, like, to the point that, you know, me trying to ask for sex in my marriage, I've actually found myself not knowing how to do that, which is really, it is concerning. But I don't think my situation would be any different to what, you know, many other women or trans women or.
I think a lot of people go through that.
Definitely. Totally.
Yeah.
It bothers me how normalized it is.
I think I feel like it took a lot of work for me to, like, get comfortable having, yeah, like, I feel like my, like sexually, like I've had to work a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, getting sober helped a lot with that. But, because I think, yeah, I was very repressed sexually before I got sober. It was like I would, every time I would have sex, it was just about, it was just, I like, I when I was having sex in the last 6 months of drinking, it was literally like I didn't enjoy it, I didn't like it, but I just did it because I thought they liked it and that made them like me.
Yep.
Yeah, but getting sober then actually kind of, that
Mm.
was the main reason I started going to therapy actually, because I realized I was just sexually, I was like, I had no idea what I was doing, what I even liked.
Yep.
Yeah, so I yeah, I know I was deeply ashamed of. Yeah, I guess I had a lot of shame issues, but I think a lot of that, I think like once I'd accepted I'd been sexually assaulted too, like when I was in my teens, because I'd kind of put that on right away. yeah, like I don't think I didn't really want to have sex again after I'd accepted that as well. So I was like, yeah, it took a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's a lot of, yeah, a lot of emotional work and that stuff.
Yeah.
We can get there though, it just takes a lot of time.
It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
I would say it's only really been in my late 20s that I've kind of gone, hey, I actually think I've been assaulted a lot by everyone I've ever been with in one way or another. And then I've been shamed for it if I've tried to say anything about it. Like, it does take a really, and I think a lot of the time too, it does, it's, this is one thing that social media, like the Me Too movement, I'll give credit to it, that whole Me Too movement, that really made me sit back and go, oh my, it literally did just go, oh my God, me too, that's happened to me too, yes, like it's so common. And it is really uncomfortable to talk about. So I will say, Kimi Kichua, thank you for actually talking about this because
Yeah.
I acknowledge it's really difficult. But I think, you know, me growing up, I never heard of anyone being raped or anyone being sexually assaulted. I never heard of that. All I would hear on the news, I would hear it on the news, some girl got raped by five guys in Bankstown. So then you would hear the girl that got raped, but I never actually met any of these women. And so when these things are happening to me, then you kind of just take it and just go, oh, that was a bit uncomfortable, but maybe it's because I'm learning, or maybe it's because of this, or maybe it's because of that. So if I ever have children, that will be a conversation that I'll, you know, I'm not shying away from it. It's really fucking uncomfortable, but I don't want my kids, like male, female, otherwise, to feel like they just are going out into the world either abusing somebody without realizing they're abusing somebody, or receiving abuse and not knowing how to, you know, put their hand up and say, hey, this isn't right.
Yeah.
But anyway, that very good discussion. Very good discussion in the workroom.
Yeah, it was definitely very, it was very brave of her to open up.
Very, very brave. Hey, we got to keep talking. You know, this is, I've lived in this fantasy where I'm like, you know, this will eventually go away. I don't think rape is ever going to go away. I don't think sexual assault is ever going to go away.
Yeah.
I hate that. I don't think it's going to. However, I think the more we talk, the more that it's reduced, and the
Yeah.
more we're giving people power to, you know, we're giving the victims power.
Yeah, I think like the more we talk about it, the less and open up about it to people, the less shame we have about it. And then it gives us more power.
That's right.
The more often you do it.
Mm-hmm. Agree. So we're on the runway now.
Yeah.
And Tracy looks fine.
She's fine.
Brad looks so cute.
Yeah, Brad's cute.
He's so cute. And Brooklyn is wearing my wedding dress. Nah, she's not. It kind of looks like if my wedding dress...
Same color.
...to go out somewhere else after the wedding.
Yeah, with like a Marilyn shawl.
Oh, God. Hair. This was actually, what she's wearing, it was actually very similar. What Brooklyn was wearing is actually very similar to a couple of dresses and design ideas that I had on my mood board, where it was like a nude or gold dress, but with like feather boa. I'm like, I don't know if I'm like, yeah. It's so beautiful, as always.
Yeah. She's yeah, Brooklyn brings it every week.
She's so annoying. Just want to kick her in the head.
RuPaul, take notes. Just keep taking notes.
Who's the guest judge? Leslie Hampton?
Yeah, I like her.
Fashion designer and model.
Yeah.
I hate what she's wearing, but I'm sure it's great.
Yeah.
But I also agree she's very beautiful.
Yeah.
The
end. She seems very cool.
Yeah. Now, first runway theme, mask for mascara. So this is meant to be a more masculine look.
Like a gender bent.
Gender bender.
Yeah, gender bender look.
Okay. So in the interest of time... If we go through every single look, we're never doing Down Under. So,
or do we just pick like favorites of each look?
Yes, favorites of each. What do you reckon? So, mask for mascara, who was your favorite? And who was your least favorite?
Honestly, Fierce Delicious is my favorite.
Yes.
Weird to say it, but yeah.
Oh, hands down. That was the best look.
She nailed it.
I actually think it was the best look of the whole fucking night out of all three categories.
I actually do too. Yeah. It was really good.
Stunning. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. It was a really good look.
Oh my God. All of it was just so beautiful. This mint green and this candy pink hair. Oh, fuck, it was next level.
It's so good. And actually, yeah, the hair and the the hair and the facial hair, like, it was just so well executed.
Oh, it was so beautiful. I couldn't.
Yeah, like, she really nailed it with this one.
Yeah, I couldn't.
My least favorite was actually Vivian.
Yeah, me too. I was about to say the same thing. I know she actually said in her voiceover, she was like, oh, I've picked, you know, references from different eras to, you know, put the whole thing together. And in my mind, I was just like, can you just pick one? I like eclectic styles. I like mixing and matching different styles and different eras, but it still needs to look cohesive. To me, none of this looked cohesive. It was just, you need to pick, you know, two or three ideas and stick to it.
I just didn't like it.
And to me, it didn't quite look androgynous as such. To me, it kind of, or gender bender, it just looked like a gay guy.
Yeah, I just feel like it didn't really work. Like, even to, like, body proportions, it wasn't flattering either. Yeah, same.
That's what I thought. I was just like, all of it was just very...
Like, those things stuck out, like, in the wrong place.
Yes.
Like, if they'd been in the middle, like, in as, like, a mid-body thing, maybe that would have looked all right. Like, I mean, I know it's gender bender, but it just didn't look flattering.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't my thing. It just, a lot of it just didn't look like it fit.
Yeah.
And what's with her, the way that she skips?
Yeah, they brought that up.
It's in the weird. Critiques.
Yeah, she thinks she's doing a Vanjie, like, shuffle thing.
Oh, what? And she's skipping.
Yeah, they brought that up in her critiques. They were like, you were like, I've been going for like a Vanjie, like shuffle walk thing, like and then Brooklyn was like, yeah, she does like a little pony walk thing. And she was like, but you're just skipping. Yeah,
I think I do remember that.
She's just a little delusional about how she comes across on the runway.
Yeah, I think so.
It happens to everyone, I guess. I'd probably do that. I'd probably think I'm like strutting stunningly, and they'd be like, "You're walking weird."
You look good on the wedding day.
I used to get that during the music. Yeah, during my musical theater degree, actually, I think I was like walking with poise, and like the teacher would be like. Like, can you just walk normal?
You're being primal.
you're being primal.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, you want me to walk normal? Okay. You take your shirt off and you just... I walk very fast. I don't mean to, but I'm actually a very fast walker. And I walk with a bit of a, I guess I walk with a bit of a, with a bit of a stride.
Mm.
Yeah. I think that's why I remember at the wedding, I deliberately, we decided that everyone was going to walk down one by one. And then I was pretty much going to wait till towards the right at the very end of the song to even start walking because I knew I was going to walk down fast, even when I was trying to walk down slow. Mm. Yeah. And I remember someone, one of our mutual friends being like, oh my God, you were like the fastest bride ever. And I was like, oh fuck, I didn't want that to happen. But then I looked at the video and I'm like, you know what? I was walking in time with the music, so it didn't matter.
Yeah.
And also I'm not like a timid little, I'm not a Gentile bride. I was like, I'm a woman and I'm about to sign a legal document. Get out of my way. But also the feathers looked fucking marvelous. So, you know.
Yeah, they looked great.
Yeah. You know, you're going to make a move.
You high fives. Yeah, you got a high five in there.
Oh, yeah. I high five some kids on the way down. I keep forgetting about that. And then everyone reminds me. That was fun. What a day. Now, the next runway theme is Incognito. So I guess this one you need to do a bit of a reveal.
Yes.
Well, not reveal. Like, you're not, you know, changing from a little dress to a big dress or whatever, but you're actually transforming.
Yeah. It's a reveal challenge, but when they use the word incognito, I kind of feel like it's not just a reveal. I feel like it's like... an entire look to an entire look. It's not like you're just switching a dress.
Mm-hmm. You're transforming from one person into another person.
Yeah, like if you were a spy, you would literally be like completely changing your outfit to throw someone off.
Yes. Yeah. Who was your favorite and who was your least favorite of this one?
I would say I was kind of torn between Giselle and... Fearsalicious for my faves. Fearsalicious was a bit smoother though.
Give me a minute because I can't remember Fearsalicious. Just edit this little bit out. I just want to rewatch the runway again. Hang on.
Fearsalicious was really good.
I know what my least favorite was.
Me too.
Oh yes, I remember. Okay, sorry. Can we start that again?
It's yeah.
Okay. Who was your favorite and least favorite in the Incognito category?
I'll just say the same thing. I was torn between Giselle and Fearsalicious, my faves.
Mm.
Even I think Fearsalicious was smoother
than
Giselle's. But I liked the transformations most for them. Like, they were like completely different looks.
Fearsalicious. Yes, I do remember.
And this
I
is,
died.
This is the spy theme, right? It was very good.
Oh, when she came down with the basket and then she just transformed. It was history.
Yeah. It was very smart.
Yes, it was amazing. I loved it so much. Giselle's was really good as well, but this was a surprise. This was, yeah.
Yeah, actually going with a spy as well, I was like, when she said that, I was kind of like, okay, I'm sold. She's like, that is the perfect incognito. She's actually like one, she's done, it's like 100% the assignment.
Now, who is your least favorite?
I think it was Jada Shader.
Yeah. I hated that.
It was just a crappy dress.
Yeah. She wore a black dress and then she spun around and it was silver.
Yeah.
It was bad.
I feel like they picked at Kimmy Couture as the most, but I feel like Jada Shader's was just a crappy dress.
That was lazy.
Yeah.
Kimmy's was lazy.
I think I thought it was a good concept. It just didn't work.
Well, she was hiding behind a piece, like just a square. I think she should have banned the square. You know what I mean? Like, I think she should have walked down and actually banned inside the square. And then she tugs something or unclips something and then it turns into her.
Or like, yeah, that's a good point. Like, even if she'd still had like a board thing, but it was her walking with the board. So she's still a profile, but she's now a not incognito profile.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I think the issue with
that would have made the whole thing work. But yeah, it was kind of just like, I'm holding a board, now I'm not.
Yeah, I think the issue with that look was, yeah, she was kind of holding up a piece of card and then she threw it away.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's not the challenge. A side note, I know we're only meant to talk about our top favorite and our least favorite, but I think Vivian's was stupid.
Yeah.
It wasn't the worst, but it's just a side note. I think it was stupid.
Yeah.
I don't understand how this was incognito.
It was two different looks. It just wasn't good.
It was stupid. It didn't make me laugh or anything. It was just really dumb. Anyway, just a side note.
I mean, I guess it was a way to conceal. Yeah, the only thing about it, I was like, I guess that's a way to conceal that big hair.
Yeah.
Give her that. But...
yeah, but I mean, we all knew that there was hair under there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, moving on. We get to the final category, and it is the Masquerade Eleganza.
Yeah.
Faves, sorry, I'm just triggered by, yeah. Anyway, look, I'll get into that a little bit later. What was your fave, your least fave?
Favorite was probably Fearsalicious.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm like favoring her too much, but also
no, I don't think so.
She did well.
Yeah, I think her dress was beautiful. It was so gorgeous. Very look.
And yeah, that's what I was talking about with the adding to the mask. You know how she mentions when she does this that she added the beads to the gold beads to the mask.
Ah, okay, got you.
And then that's what she put on the little sides of her dress.
Yes. Now I remember. Okay. Yeah. Look, is this dress the most remarkable dress? No. I would wear this dress.
Yeah.
it was just beautiful, and it was well put together, and it looked like the mask was made for the dress, not the dress was made to match the mask.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I think is the challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes me sad in the sense that Giselle's was amazing. I will give her kudos. That was amazing. It was very close. But the hem, it needed a hem. She didn't get a chance to put a hem in.
Yeah.
That's the first thing my eye just dropped to that. I'm like, no, there's no hem.
Yeah, it was a bummer. It was like those.
Yeah, where's Derek Barry when you need her?
Those sleeves were amazing. It was just, yeah.
Oh.
It just needed that bit more.
Yeah. Where's Derek Barry when you need her?
Yeah. Come on, Derek. Give us a hem.
Give us a hem. Oh. Yeah. Now, who was your least favorite?
It's like I feel like I should be saying Kimmy Couture, but it was actually Vivian.
I actually think so too.
Yeah.
Look, Vivian's was shit. I'll be frank. Not oh god, sorry. Kimmy's was shit.
But it actually was nice.
Yeah, Kimmy's
like the was... color scheme was nice anyway.
Oh yeah, yellow and pink go together quite well.
And all that. And like it yeah, I think like if it just had that bit more. I feel like Kimmy's, like, if it had just had that bit more to it, it would look good, even though it's not masquerade at all.
Vivian did not understand the challenge.
Yeah, the moment I saw the pants too, I mean, I was kind of like, I feel like I still don't think that's masquerade, but it's
nope.
Different, but yeah.
Nope. She wore knicker bottoms.
Like, even it's Brad's critique of, like, do you want to look like staff or one of the guests? I was like, she still looks like staff. Like, she looks like one of the event runners.
Yeah.
Or she'd be like
the waiters or something.
She'd be like the door bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't masquerade at all. It was just...
Yeah.
And I think she had the best opportunity in terms of the mask. I would have loved to have seen her in like some black and white Harlequin, like.
You can do a lot with black and white look.
Oh my God. You could do so much. She could have had a massive, like, she could have had some sort of dress, obviously.
She could have done like a black swan, some type of Black Swan inspired or Cruella inspired thing.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I would have wanted to do.
There's a lot you can do with that.
Because it's masquerade, it's very over the top and like it's a very specific drama that you're looking for. Like it's very, like the way that I interpret masquerade, you can either go classy and just have like, you know, a dress like Fiercelicious. With a little bit extra embellishment, or you can do sort of like what Giselle did and just really go over the top drama. Like you wouldn't wear that dress anywhere except for a masquerade or something like that. But yeah. I think what I would have wanted to do if I had black and white, I would have tried to do something so that I'm clashing patterns. Like I would have had like a part of the skirt, maybe having like Harlequin and then another, like maybe in the opposite side, but on the breast, maybe have like Baroque or filigree or houndstooth or something like that, just to really, because black, there's just so many missed opportunities.
Yeah, you could do something sort of like Alice in Wonderland, like, I don't know, like Queen that Queen of Hearts-ish or like, chess-ish or what, like,
yes.
I don't know, that kind of vibe.
Yep, agree. Yeah. Cruella, any of those sort of references,
yeah.
I just don't understand, like, and I'm looking at her look, and I'm looking at her look. I'm looking at this look. I disagree that it's black and white.
Yeah, she mostly went for black and like
black with some shiny shit.
And she did more like silver gray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She must be colorblind, poor bitch.
Yeah. Such a shame.
Yeah. Not my thing.
Because like Jada Shada was a big surprise. I know we shouldn't talk about everyone, but yeah.
I liked her dress. Shit fabric, but liked the dress.
She really pulled it out.
It was much better than just having fans, which I don't know why she thought that would be.
Thank goodness she listened to Brad.
Mm-hmm.
She went, okay. Yep, maybe. Yep. I don't want to have another plate disaster.
Yeah.
With a pointless headpiece.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I love when Brooklyn was like, I said to Fearcelicious, I love this dress. I would wear this dress. And then Fearcelicious goes, I'll make you one. And Brooklyn's like, no, you won't make it. Then points at Giselle and says, you will make it.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. Oh, God. I was like, yeah, at least I acknowledge it. I think Giselle knew she hadn't won, and it was literally just because it didn't have a hem.
Yeah.
And the execution of the second. In the incognito, her reveal wasn't as smooth.
Yeah. It wasn't smooth enough, unfortunately.
No.
Nah. Still really good, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, and her first look was kind of safe. I guess it was safer out of all the looks. Not winning, yeah.
Oh, God, I'm looking at this Vivian vent. They've just zoomed in. I've got the episode playing on mute in the background. I actually really, I'm going to go as far as to say I hate Vivian's look.
Honestly, me too. Yeah.
Well, it's not. Yeah. She made the challenge.
Yeah. I really loved
the, I'll get the sirloin steak, medium rare, with a side of gravy and steamed vegetables. Yep. Okay. All right. Not a worry. It'll be out in a minute. 10 minutes later, I get dumplings. that's what happened here. You know what I mean? And then I'm saying to them, oh, hey, I actually ordered the steak. They're like, yeah, medium rare. I'm like, yeah, these are dumplings. And like, oh, I'll go check with the chef, but I'm pretty sure it's medium rare. We can do you another one. I'm like, these are dumplings.
Honestly, I don't know if I ever really like pants when they're at that length.
No. It's a very 90s thing.
Yeah, it's very like mom.
Yes. We used to call them knickerbockers.
Yeah. I mean, oh God, she's bringing her Kath and Kim impressions back into it again. I mean, and we know she likes Kath and Kim.
She does, yeah. Yeah, they just look like knickerbockers.
Knickerbockers, Kim.
Yeah. Do you want them above, like, what do you, yeah.
Gotta go meet Kel.
I've got, like, 3-quarter shorts, but, like, they still kind of just, like, come to, like, the knee.
Mm.
Yeah, this halfness is very strange. But anyway, very interesting. Very, very interesting. Did anything happen in the in Untucked? I don't think so.
I remember. The only thing I'd say, I loved Leslie's critiques.
What was that?
Like, I loved with, like, with Jada, I don't love the fabric, but since I know you're not a sewer, you're not a seamstress, like, I actually think it was really smart of you to use that type of fabric, because otherwise it would have, like, taken away or something like that.
Yeah.
She was very constructive, but also, like, I don't know what the word for it is, like, considerate.
Compliment sandwich,
but, like, considerate and constructive. Yeah.
she was giving compliments with a realistic expectation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's very, like, you can't just say to somebody, oh, I wanted, like, you know, this amazing thing, but they're not capable of making that thing because they don't have the skill set to do so.
Yeah, I find that much better too than when these judges come in and they're like, you know, this is Drag Race. We expect this. Mm. You know, this is the final. This is the final five.
Yeah, based on what you're telling me, this was pretty good, given the, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, fine.
Like, she actually came in and she was like an actual judge.
Yeah. So I think that was great.
Yeah.
Now, I guess we're up to the lip sync now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The only thing from Untucked that was funny was Jada snapping at Fearsalicious. That was funny.
Oh, when she told her to shut up.
Yeah, it was like Fearsalicious. I think Jada was like raving about how her good critiques were, and then she was like, Fearsalicious was like, yeah, it was hot glue girl, and then and then she was like, why don't you run? Yeah, she was like, you're ugly inside and out.
It's funny. It's like no one really...
Bisselicious didn't even react that much either.
No. I think it's funny because it's almost like they don't acknowledge that Bisselicious is actually good at stuff.
Yeah.
Like, this has happened a couple times. Look, I know we've like ragged on her quite a bit, but she's not a bad drag queen. She has absolutely shown in this competition that she is more than capable and more than competent in many facets. She's actually very good. I think it's just more so because she has these periods of just, you know, sulking.
Yeah, I think she just annoys people.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, you can say that she's had a lot of help, but then, I mean, who doesn't? Like, every drag queen gets help with their stuff. Data Shade has admitted that, like, her friend, like, helped her out with funds and things, and like, I mean, and I mean, like, once they go into All Stars, none of them make any of their clothing.
Yeah, I will say this. Fearsalicious, as much as she's been, you know, she's had periods of sulking, and when it was finally flagged with her, she was like, you know what? Yeah, I'm just gonna be a better team player.
Yeah,
and step out of it. She really has.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's anyway.
Like they literally did. Like, yeah, they literally, those producers literally did go, okay, well, yeah, the drama is over.
Yeah.
After that point. Like, I can't believe that was actually true.
But yeah.
As we're seeing every episode from here out,
yeah, she's been
that
fine.
Was true. The drama was over.
Yeah. The winner of this week's challenge is Fearsalicious. Do you agree? Good chat. Move on. Now we have the bottom two. The bottom two is Vivian Vanderpuss and Kimmy Couture. Before the lip sync started, I just assumed, I'm like, okay, Kimmy Couture puts on a show, but she's going to go home because Vivian Vanderpuss, she's going to be in the top. She is like the Pythia of this season. In this season, she's not my favorite, but she's going to get to the top. Actually. You thought the opposite.
Yeah, because I was like, I don't see Vivian being that good a lip syncer. I mean, she's not that great a dancer. Like, she had to work at it a lot.
Yeah, but you know how sometimes they're just like,
they do surprise sometimes, yeah. That is a thing. But...
yeah, but I was just like, well, because they kind of were, to be honest, they were giving they were giving Vivian Vanderpuss a little bit of a winner's edit.
They sort of were, but yet again, I don't know, this is another one of those things that they have done before, like with Miss Cracker.
Yeah.
Like in season 10, they were like...
In Cartier.
Yeah, Cartier. She like they, like with Miss Cracker particularly, actually same example as Vivian now. She didn't have a win the whole time or something. I think, yeah, the whole time she didn't get a win up until the episode before she got eliminated.
Yeah.
So it was sort of like a setup victory to then out.
Yeah.
I don't know what you call that edit, but...
yeah.
It's sort of a false winner's edit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that's a good description. False winner's edit.
Yeah.
Because I was shocked when they were like, Kimmy Kachua, Shantae, you stay. I was like, oh, fuck, wait, really? Oh, maybe it's going to be a double save then. Maybe. Oh, shit, nope, she's out. Okay, alrighty.
But who, I mean, who knows with these things too? I don't know if that if that's the producers being like, people are going to want to see her back in the competition again, so let's boot her. Let's boot her so we can bring her back.
Yeah.
Because I think they've done that with some of the queens in season two.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay. Interesting.
So I think a bunch of Canada season two's queens are going to be in that Canada versus the world.
Oh, yeah, because let's be honest. Season one, it was all about Priyanka and potentially Jimbo, the end.
Yeah. Plus Jimbo's going back to the next All-Stars, allegedly.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Vivian Vanderpuss is bloody out of here. Did you cry?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do I ever cry?
Your theme song should be "I'll Never Cry, I Never Cry" by Alice Cooper. It's a song about him saying "I never cry."
Yeah, or "Don't cry out loud."
Oh my god! See, this is where the line is. I pick straight references. You pick gay references.
Penn and Teller.
Hi, I'm your straight person music reference specialist, Melanie Driver.
And I'm the gay bitch, Sean.
And together, we're high five. Well, interesting episode. Good chat, Sean.
Good chat, Melanie.